B-Pod Studios.
I was dying to talk to the coach today. Here he is, Jimmy Lyon. Jim, what do you say, brother?
Coach, what's happening?
So, we were just talking about Ben, all right?
And yeah, I heard you guys earlier when I was driving.
You know what we want to talk about. What's your assessment?
Well, I think a lot of what I've heard, I would be in agreement with. I mean, I know you're a big fan. I think you know I'm a big fan. And I think that really the discussion, one of the callers, I think, kind of framed it pretty well, that he's an all-star player, Anthony, like blindfolded is a given. I mean, don't even debate that. And the conversation to me is, can he be a super? I mean, can he be one of like the 6 to 8 special players in this league? And when you look at him, you're tempted to say, yes, he could be. And I would say that. But obviously right now, given this one deficiency in his game, I would say he's got to make improvement in that one area.
You know, it's so funny. So, like, last night, now, I was talking to out in Phoenix, and they said they had Ben playing the screener position last night. So
yeah, he did. He set a lot of picks, correct.
If you got Baines, right, wouldn't you run a little ISO for him? Try to bring
him out? I'm going to tell you, let me interrupt you, Anthony. I have to say this. I was really almost stunned at how well Baines guarded him. Baines, I mean, you know those open court thrusts that Ben likes to do? Now, picture Baines running back. He kept Ben Simmons in front. Those numbers were not, that's not a mistake. Baines guarded him to the tune that Ben shot 2 for 8. Yes, he did. And if you heard, I know it was late when it ended. Well, Brett Brown came on with his post-game press conference. Now, obviously, he knows Baines. Baines is the starting center for the Australian national team.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things Brett said, he has incredibly good feet.
Yeah.
And he's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah.
That was Brett's quote. So, I would say this, kind of along the line of what you're saying. Yes, good idea to put Ben setting the pick. But how about if it's not, like, working as well as you'd like, go back and give him the ball some.
Yeah.
To your point, okay? And run pick and roll. Obviously, if somebody, as I said, you can set the pick with a chair.
Right.
Bane, okay? Right. He's going to get knocked off the play. Who should set the pick, Coach? I don't care who sets the pick. What it will do, it will serve either they'll have to make a switch or it'll send Simmons what I call into the crease on penetration because he was not getting penetration against Bane. That was simply a fact.
So how would you, if you look at blocks, I'm sure when you're coaching, you always took the season in blocks of games.
Correct. Most of them will tell you a block of 10.
So if I take the half block, right, for the first 5, what's your assessment of Ben? Because I did thought I see some improvement in some areas. I mean, we both love him, but I did genuinely think he played well over the 5 games. I mean, that Minnesota game, he was terrific.
No, absolutely no question. We wouldn't be having this conversation if it weren't for last night's game, which happened. Not only did Ben have a subpar performance statistically for himself, although, as you had mentioned, he did have 7 steals for the game, 4 in the first quarter. He's only leading the NBA in steals right now, and he really is a terrific defensive player. But no, he's played very well over these games.
What do you what's kind of cool is like when you look at them and the expectation that they're more talented than anyone is kind of fun. The fact that they're going to these arenas and they're going toe to toe. I mean, that's a real good team. You get the big fella back, and when the big fella's there, it's hard to beat them.
I would agree. And what it also does, Anthony, along the line of what you're saying, I like the way this team is composed, the makeup of it, and it makes it very difficult for teams to do what they did to Ben Simmons last night when you have Joel Embiid on the floor. Some of these tactics that you can employ when they're shorthanded, you can't do when they have their full roster. But let me just add, we're not really talking about, you know, this team, because they're really talented and they play really well and they play hard every night, they're going to win a lot of games. But my conversation is always geared towards mid-May to mid-June. That's the expectation for this team, that they're going to be able to play like championship level basketball in that little time block. So when we talk about Ben, like, it's not so much, well, Ben had a subpar game last night. It's that we don't want Ben having these kind of games.
Yes.
Again, you know, in the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yeah, that's exactly it. What do you think of the development of Korkmaz? Like Brett said, and you and I were both talking about this, developing a bomber. What do you think about Korkmaz the last couple games?
Well, obviously the field goal to beat Portland, and let's add, Ben made two huge free throws in that game.
Yeah,
it set the stage for the Korkmaz three.
That's right.
To win the game.
Yeah.
No, I think the Sixers feel they have a confidence in Korkmaz. They want him to succeed, and they feel he's got the potential. I think he's really, right now, he's not a confident guy. I think you should have, this is just me,
uh-huh.
I think you should have a bit more confidence. He's a better player than he's giving himself credit for, in my opinion. I'm not saying he's a finished product, but I think he can shoot the ball and score the ball. And obviously they need perimeter shooting, so they're going to give him every chance to succeed.
Do you believe his shot is quicker, his release? I think at least it looked like to me that his release is quicker than it was last year. Am I seeing things?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
No, I don't. I think he has a quick release, a reasonably quick release, whether it's quicker than last year. The one thing, like that field goal that he won the game with, that was a quick release. He had a defender flying at him. But you have to keep in mind, because of like the talent of Embiid and the passing skills of Simmons, these guys are going to get a lot of open perimeter shots. So it's not so much can he get it away quickly enough. Can you put it in the basket?
Yeah.
They're going to be open.
Yeah.
You know, when you have guys like Embiid getting double teamed, which he will, the Sixers scheme will create a lot of open shots, and you need somebody to be able to make them.
You know that voice, the one, the only, the coach Jimmy Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. You can make sure you check out Jim post-game. He's the best. So let me ask you about this. So as we look at this team, how long will it take to kind of really feel out roles? I mean, Brett's going to use a good part of the season as a petri dish just to see what he's got, do some experimenting. But how long until they get a feel for one another? I mean, you can see Tobias wants to have the ball and wants to be in control. But just playing together, it's going to take at least, I think, 20 games at least to feel comfortable. How long do you think it takes for this?
Well, that's a good question on your part, Anthony. And ironically, you just said 20 games. That was always my metric, like with my teams, that I waited. That's a quarter into the season. And you have a pretty good feel at that point in time where you are, in my opinion, assuming you have your entire group. So I would say, what, Joel has already missed three of the first six games.
Yeah.
5-1. They've stepped up big time. The acquisition of Al Horford, I didn't realize, it was a kind of a shock to me when I saw they signed him. And it took a little while for it really to sink in. I mean, that was a stroke of genius on Elton Brand's part. Not just for the obvious reason that you have a terrific player when Joe can't play, but these two guys, I think, to your point, like give them this like first 20 games or so to figure it out how they can be effective, most effective, playing together.
Yeah, I mean, I dude, I thought Al was a great signing too, like you were going to go, wow, that's really, that is a stroke of genius. But I didn't think he's got so much left. Like, you watch him. I'm watching him play. And he's so active. I mean, he looks great.
Yeah, that's a good word. Active he is. You know, I always had a great regard for him in that I thought he was a really sound player. Not too many things that Al Horford lacks. You know, he can pass the ball. He can defend. He gets to the offensive board. He makes a three-point shot. I mean, he's a very, very complete player. But as you just said, I mean, he had that play where he ran on the break. I mean, Ben Simmons is out in front of you. A lot of players would assume that Ben's going to finish. Ben misses the play on the break and in traffic. And here comes Horford flying in the air. I mean, he looked like he was 23, not 33.
Amazing. Have you catch any other, you catch any of the Clippers, any of the Lakers out west, any of those games?
I saw the Clippers a bit the one night and a portion of a Laker game one night. A little early, you know, I'll watch them in a little bit more detail as the season unfolds.
Border deep, aren't they,
Clippers? Obviously, they're both going to be very, very good teams.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, they're deep. Like, that Clipper team is just, they're deep. You add Kawhi to that mix, they're a tough team. They're a kind of fun team out west to watch.
Yeah, and Kawhi, I mean, not because of the dramatic versus the Sixers last year in the playoffs, but I think he really did. I mean, I knew what a terrific player he was. I did not know he was that good. I mean, you could make the case right now that he's the best player in this league.
Next thing, I know it's early, but this Eastern Conference, I mean, other than Milwaukee, I mean, you see anybody that's, like, any good?
Yeah, I think you'll have some decent teams, but the real question for me is there anybody there other than Milwaukee that's a strong contender to take the Sixers out in a 7-game series? And categorically, I'd say no to that.
Right, right.
The Sixers right now, again, you know, barring big-time injuries, they should be in real, real good shape to play in the Eastern Conference Final. And most probably you would think that that would be against the Milwaukee Bucks. But I like this team. I think if we have to identify that they do have some weaknesses. Their perimeter shooting, you know, is a question mark for me. I'm not saying it's not going to be good. But when you lose J.J. Redick, you know, that's a big hit to your perimeter shooting, particularly the way the Sixers play. But on the flip side of that coin, if you go back 2 years, the reason they lost to the Boston Celtics, I thought they were the better team. In fact, in my heart, I know they were the best team.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to trash J.J. I put him on my team in a heartbeat. I love the guy. However, they lost to the Celtics because J.J. Redick's perimeter defense on the wing was just totally inadequate. It just wasn't good enough for that particular series. And if you go back and look at the Terry Rozier's of the world and the Smarts of the world, and even the Jason Tatum's of the world, none of those guys are as good as they were in that series.
No.
You see my point?
Yeah, definitely. So great point.
They exposed, and as a result now, the Sixers have really beefed up their defense. Josh Richardson and Matisse Thybulle, these two guys can defend. So you have playoff-caliber defenders, and that's going to be, like, really good for the Sixers, provided the shooting is not a problem.
You're the best. The best! I love it. I'm in my glory that they're this good, and then we get to kind of break it down all year long. You're the best. I love you, Jim.
All right, buddy. Good being with you. Anytime, just give a shout. And, it should be a lot of fun. This team is a good team, and I think they're going to get better.
Thanks, brother. I enjoy it, baby.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.